Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
9:09 as we matriculate our way through this Tuesday morning, April the 15th, which is, I guess you know, tax day. So you got to do whatever you got to do. With that, we just heard a little bit from Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. He was pretty clear in his opinion. We're going to be joined by him right now, as a matter of fact, to talk about the replacement for David Griffin and the Pelicans. Good morning, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Yeah, let's talk about David Griffin. I met him and spoke with him a couple of times, and he's a very nice man. But let's go back and look at, because you got to figure out where you were and how you got from there to here before you can figure out where you go from here to there, right? So let's talk about David Griffin looking back, talk about his history with the Pelicans and where maybe the failures were. Because, again, I think he's a nice man, but sometimes being nice is not enough, being a nice guy, right?
No, like it's about winning games in the NBA, and I think when you look at the Zion Williamson and David Griffin tenure so far, these past 6 years, they just haven't done enough winning and haven't had the type of success that they wanted. And you can point to specific, you know, roster mismanagement moves by David Griffin, holding on to Brandon Ingram too long, not trading him sooner, you know, maybe signing and trading for Devontae Graham and then using 4 second-round picks to get off of that bad contract that they gave him, not acquiring the center that they've needed, or even moving on from Dyson Daniels, who might win Defensive Player of the Year this season. But really the biggest, I think, mistake in David Griffin's tenure, which is what has led the team to this point, was that he didn't get it right with Zion Williamson early. And Zion Williamson came in as an 18-year-old number one overall pick, hyped up beyond belief, but that lacked some of the professionalism that he needed to have and some of the structure around him to kind of become one of those all-time greats and lead this team to the type of success that they wanted. It was evidence that, you know, he wasn't taking the offseason seriously and things like that. And while that's not David Griffin's fault necessarily, you still got to connect with your star player and get their buy-in and put the right type of infrastructure around him. And that was something that the team failed to do early on in Zion's tenure here. And I think that's led to a lot of the missed games from Zion and the lack of success that the team has wanted. And while a lot of that's on Zion and he needs to shoulder that blame, it's still on your lead basketball decision maker to make it work in the first place. And so you could almost say that David Griffin is a bit of a victim of Zion Williamson.
I want to talk about that a little bit more. What could have or should have David Griffin have done? And if nothing, as you said, that he's a victim of Zion Williamson, then does that go to the selection to begin with? Take me through all of that.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at Zion Williamson, right, like he, when it comes to, say, evaluating coaches in front office, you're judged on results. That's what this is. It's a results-oriented business. You can talk about process and all that, but you're going to be judged by your wins and losses, playoff trips, playoff victories, things like that. And they just haven't had that success here in New Orleans like they wanted. Yeah. But the coach can't make players play. The front office can't make players play. And when you have multiple seasons of Zion Williamson, three or four of his first 6 years in the league, he's played under 30 games or fewer. You're just not going to win very many games when it's an 82-game season like that if your star players aren't available. We can talk about Zion Williamson's talent, and he has it tremendously. When he played this year, he looked absolutely phenomenal, but it was only 30 games out of 82. And so that's going to lead you to a bad season, I think. That's not directly David Griffin's fault. That's not directly head coach Willie Green's fault, but they have kind of a factor into it, too. And one of the things that I have long said is Zion Williamson is so talented that if I were running the team, I'd be willing to go down with the Zion Williamson ship trying to make it work. And ultimately, that's kind of what happened to David Griffin. Rather than trading Zion earlier on in his career, maybe when Zion's value was higher, they stuck with him and trying to build around him. And he just missed too many games, and it's led to bad seasons.
I've spoken with people that know basketball and have coached basketball, and they have this theory out there, and you may have heard it, that, as you mentioned, structure around Zion, that there's something about Zion's structure that they predicted, and I remember when it happened, they predicted that he wasn't going to be a guy that would be able to be available a lot, that the way he was put together physically wasn't lent to be a long-term NBA player or to put in a lot of court time during the season. Have you heard that and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen that that's been an issue for him. You know, he has regularly not shown up to the beginning of the regular season training camp in kind of the shape that you want him to be in, the conditioning that you want him to be in. And you're seeing him usually throughout the season kind of play himself into game shape. And that's something that's held the team back. You know, when you look at the injuries, particularly these hamstring injuries that he has suffered repeatedly at this point in time, you know, is that due to, you know, dumb luck, or is that due to his lack of preparation or taking care of his body? And no one was expecting him to come in, you know, as an 18-19 year old to the NBA and doing all the things that LeBron James does and started doing, you know, year 10 in his career, 15-20, right, where he famously spends $1 million plus every year just taking care of his body so he can be on the court and be available. You know, it took LeBron a number of years to kind of get to that point and get to that level of, like, professionalism. But, you know, we've seen interviews with Zion Williamson in the past where he kind of laughed, like, at stretching and players saying they stretch to keep themselves, you know, loose and avoid injuries. And Zion's kind of laughing, like, why are you doing that? That seems kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. And when we look at it through that kind of lens, did that lead to a lot of the issues that he's had out there on the court? And when these same issues keep repeating themselves over and over and over again, that's where I think we can kind of point to Zion and say, hey, like, it's not roster mismanagement. It's not just coaching that's an issue here in New Orleans. It's Zion, the player, as well. And I even think he'd own up to some of that. And he has in the past. And you saw this year start to look a little bit different from him. And if this team wants to compete in the playoffs next season or build a winner going forward, they're going to need to rely on Zion being the most professional version of Zion. That's still a bit of an open question, even if we've seen incremental improvement.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax. For a limited time, it's subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I've been trying to get there.
I want to get back to the victim thing, Jake. And what I mean by that is what ultimately, when it comes to an NBA player and management, I mean, you can't attach somebody to the guy 24/7 during the offseason and everything else, make sure he's eating right, doing this, doing that, can you?
No, exactly. And I think one of the things that you've seen the team try and do is try and kind of put in some of that structure, and it's worked and hasn't worked. And look, this job of building a competitive team, particularly around a star player like this, can be really, really difficult. And sometimes it's just as simple as that of, like, the job's hard. You know, they rookie year for Zion Williams, and they brought in someone like J.J. Redick, who had a winning pedigree throughout the NBA, who had played at Duke, so had that connection with Zion Williams, and they brought in Trajan Langdon to be the general manager, a former Duke guy too, hoping that having that connection to him would allow him to learn from those guys, listen to those guys. And they've tried various things to just put leadership around the team to kind of set that example. Trading for C.J. McCollum is a good example of that too. This is the guy who's the head of the the NBA Players Association. So he's kind of the consummate professional that you would hope Zion would model himself after. And it just hasn't always stuck with Zion Williamson when it comes to that. And look, they even tried it with the head coach. You know, when Zion was a rookie, they had Alvin Gentry, who's famously a laid-back players coach, not doing a ton of practices, or if they are practicing, it's just a short little quick practice. And they replaced him with more of a disciplinarian in Stan Van Gundy. And that led to Zion Williamson's best season, arguably, in terms of health and play that we've really seen from him before. And that was just his second year in the league. But Stan Van Gundy didn't mesh with Brandon Ingram, who's now no longer on the team, but that created some odds there too. So it was a big puzzle with complex moving pieces that they've just been trying to all fit together and haven't just found the, you know, the magic components to that sort
of
thing.
That's a great explanation. And when you go look at the bottom line, you got a 24-year-old that you've already paid $115 million that you have limited control over. So it's really all up to him at this point. Would you not agree?
I think at this point, it's on Zion Williamson if the light is going to kind of go off or not.
Saying.
And look, he's going to have a career in the NBA, but if you want to become an all-time great,
exactly,
it comes down to winning. And it means winning multiple titles, right? The NBA's rings culture is what we joke about with it, where it's how many titles do you have? That's ultimately sometimes the most important thing. And if he doesn't get one, he's not going to go down as an all-time great. And some people are okay not being an all-time great. Some people are fine just kind of treating the NBA like a job. Let me go out and make as much money as possible, go home, enjoy my offseason with my friends and family. I'll come back the next day and do the job that I kind of need to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to go down as one of the top players and you have that drive, that desire, it takes more than what we've seen from Zion Williamson so far. And to his credit, I think you saw some of that changing a little bit this season. 30 games because of a hamstring injury, and they shut him down for tanking purposes at the end of the year. But he was competing on defense. That's not something that he's done through his first 5 years until this year. He was actively trying on that side of the ball, and that's where you expend a lot of energy. So if you're looking at a player being lazy, something like that, they don't give it their all on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to save it for trying to score points and kind of putting up those like glory numbers in a sense like that. But Zion was competing on the defensive side of the ball in a lost season for New Orleans. That at least shows that there's something there, and maybe things are turning around for him in the way that you want him to be.
It's time to look in the mirror and say, look, God gave me this size, this ability. I've got all the money I need for the rest of my life. Where do we go from here? What do I want to do from here? If not Willie Green, if not David Griffin, who? He's gone. Who? Who are you looking at? If not Joe Dumars, who?
You know, so the big rumor right now is Joe Dumars being a serious front runner for this job, and it was reported yesterday by ESPN that, look, they might want to try and get this deal done at the end of the week. And I was listening to the show before I came on here, and they played the clip from Sports Talk last night where I said, Joe Dumars would be a lazy hire, and that is not at all what the team should do. Maybe you end up hiring. I'm okay with that. But you need to go through an exhaustive process to find the right person to lead this team. Maybe it's Joe Dumars. Maybe it's not. But right now, it doesn't seem like the Pelicans are going through a process. They're more or less just going to give this job to Joe Dumars because he's friendly with ownership and people in high-ranking positions within the Saints and Pelicans. And to me, it's such an inflection point for this franchise where you need to kind of chart the course for the next 5 to 10 years. You need to get someone with a clear vision and allow that person to go and execute it. And if you're just handing the job to someone because they're kind of a friend, that is not a good process for hiring someone. You want the most qualified person, not someone who just is from the state of Louisiana and they kind of default into the job there. Maybe that's Joe Dumars, maybe it's not, but if they just hand him the job, that is a lazy process and something that would make me massively concerned about the state of this franchise. If you go through all of this and you interview a guy like Calvin Booth, who was just let go by the Denver Nuggets, who built the team that won a title just 2 years ago, or you get someone like Bob Myers, who built up that dynasty of the Golden State Warriors, at least interview those people or try and get interviews with those folks rather than just shoehorning somebody into this position because you like them. And I think that's something that the Pelicans really need to look at. You mentioned introspection and kind of looking yourself in the mirror in terms of Zion Williamson. I think this franchise needs to do the same thing and really understand where they are, what they need to do going forward. Find someone with a clear vision for that. Align everyone from ownership, front office, coaching, players to that vision, and give that person the freedom to go out and execute that vision. I'm worried the Pelicans aren't going to kind of do that, and that makes me worried about the next 5 years with the team, truthfully.
Yeah, you know what? As you say that, it's kind of like Zion is a team in microcosm where it's like, okay, we're making money now. What do we want to do? How good do we want to be? How far do we want to take this thing? Take me real quick in the time we have left, Jake. From GM on down the line to Willie Green to even Zion and what next year is likely to look like?
You know, it's going to depend on who they hire, or at least it should depend on who they hire. We've heard some rumors that it's going to be Joe Dumars and that ownership is going to force him to keep Willie Green because they like Willie Green. Look, whoever is hired for this, it's Zion Williamson and Willie Green's future should be up to them and them alone to own and make that decision. I think you probably need some fresh blood on the coaching bench. It just hasn't worked under Willie Green. We've seen him kind of fall into some of the same mistakes that he's made over his tenure here. You know, to his credit, he has never lost the locker room. The team has never quit on him, and I think that's a really important thing to look at. The players have a lot of respect for Willie Green, and sometimes that's the most important quality you need in a head coach. But ultimately, that needs to be up to David Griffin's replacement, and that's the process that the Pelicans should follow. Same with Zion Williamson. There's reasons to keep him because of his top-end talent, but look, it's been a roller coaster, and maybe you just want to get off this roller coaster and this maddening ride, because I think a lot of people would say it has not been fun so far. This is sports. It should be entertainment, too. You should have fans enjoying themselves going to games. This season definitely wasn't that, so I think that's why they felt the need to make a change and really shake things up, and maybe there need to be more changes and more shakeups coming.
To hire a GM without giving them control over the coach seems like you're just heading for failure. You're driving a Titanic toward the iceberg.
Absolutely. You look at it with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets recently, who both fired their head coaches really late in the season in moves that were largely panned to kind of across NBA pundits around the country, right? You need alignment between your front office and your head coach, and when that alignment fails or breaks, and there's nothing to say that David Griffin and Willie Green weren't aligned, but you just have to have that. And if you hire a GM in and then Willie Green coaches out next season, then the GM fires him to bring in their own guy and get that alignment in a year, you just wasted a year. And there's no reason to do anything like that to save people's feelings or because you have, you know, a strong personal connection to someone. It's about winning in the NBA. You want to build the right kind of culture that is people first with that too, but you still got to win and you got to get results, and you don't want to make short-sighted mistakes that set your franchise back 1, 2, or 3 years or anything like that.
Look, I get it. If you want the money, I understand that side of it. But responsibility without authority never, ever succeeds, ever. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your time. And I hope we talk to you again soon, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Tommy.
You bet. Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And also interesting to look at it as, you know, Zion looking at himself in the mirror and the franchise looking at themselves in the mirror like, okay, we have this. We're making this. Now, how far do we want to go? 9:24, we'll take a break, come back, talk to Dr. Judy Ho, our friend, licensed clinical forensic neuropsychologist, about...